And at this moment, we are going to focus on your health with amazing new research. Dr. David Turman is head of molecular genetics at Genomic Research Institute. And we're very lucky to have Dr. Turman here with us today because he just has made public some extraordinary research that he's done involving sickle cells, of all things, loaded with cancer-fighting agents. Welcome, Dr. Turman. And will you explain how sickle cells play a role in this and how you even came upon this?
Well, Joan, first of all, hi, I'm glad to be with you, and certainly that this went back to 1999, Joan, when I conceived of the concept that of a relationship between sickle cells and cancers.
Like how?
Sickle cells had certain features that were complementary to tumors, and I felt that these properties that the two had a definitive affinity for attractiveness for each other. And so a few years, I wrote this up as a monologue, and a few years later went to Duke with it with my colleague there, Mark Duerst, and I began to work together in 2006, and finally brought this to fruition in a paper early this year. That's the one that was cited by Wikipedia.
Right. And of course, what you did is you took sickle red blood cells, and what did you do? Inject them with cancer drugs, cancer fighting drugs?
Well, that's exactly what we did. I mean, the problem that we were addressing here, first of all, is these tiny enclaves of tumor cells, these pockets that stick around after cancer therapy. These are the ones that cause tumor recurrence, and they tend to be very, very aggressive. They're resistant to chemotherapy, radiation, and they sit in tumors. And it turns out that that sickle cells have a predilection to move to those areas, right to those areas. They're called hypoxic zones. They're oxygen-starved regions of tumors. We found that sickle cells like to nest there. They home there, and what's more, they're operational there. And they become jagged, rigid, and they tend to stick to those sites, exactly those sites. They then burst open, and we reasoned that they could unload, if they were loaded with cancer drugs, they could unload a cargo of cancer drugs directly into these very resistant areas.
That so, never could have them before.
That's exactly right, and that's what we found here, is that when we did load them up with these sickle cells up with cancer-fighting drugs, that they did indeed target those zones, and when they arrived there, they burst open on signal and released about 4 to 5-fold more drug into those areas than normal red cells treated similarly and carrying the same cargo.
You know, it sounds fascinating. Let me ask you, Dr. Turman, if this was so effective, could there be other things these cells could deliver, like, you know, stem cells or things like that?
Absolutely. We've shown now that these cells deliver not only cancer drug cargo, they also deliver cancer viruses, that is cancer killing viruses called oncolytic viruses, and they also we've also shown that they can deliver drug toxins and kill tumor. So to date now, we've shown that these are very effective carriers, but what's also important is that these cells by themselves house very toxic iron residues that when released into the tumor is also very toxic. So the cells have not only direct tumor-killing effect of their own, but they can carry other items or other elements such as viruses, drugs, and toxins directly into these areas.
Can you grow sickle cells in a lab, or do they have to be extracted from someone?
Yes, they can be grown in the lab. They need not be extracted from donors. They can be grown from early stem cells, if you will, in the laboratory, and large volumes of them can be obtained for use in humans.
I'm talking to Dr. David Turman, who is the head of molecular genetics at Genomic Research Institute, and about this amazing new use using sickle red blood cells, injecting them with cancer-fighting drugs to areas that had been very resistant before. Is there any type of cancer that you viewed that you think this has a tremendous impact on, or is it across the board?
No, we believe it's going to be applicable, Joan, to most every cancer, because the blood supply, the blood supplies of these cancers have a great deal in common. They tend to be makeshift and tortuous mazes with dead ends and circular puzzles, and these are the blood supplies of most of the major tumors from prostate, breast, lung, etc., colon. Tend to be exactly the same, very, very similar, and melanoma, of course. And that these cells have an affinity for just that type of architecture, just those kinds of blood vessels.
Are the side effects similar to what you would get giving a patient regular chemo?
Well, we don't know. Thus far, we haven't seen much toxicity in mice, so we're going to have to go ahead, and that's going to be neat. That's coming up in the future.
So that's the next step, right? Human trial?
Yeah. I think the unique element of this one, if I may put this forward, is not only the targeting of these very resistant sites, these called hypoxic zones of tumors, but it's also that what we did here is we actually synchronized the cells to unload their tumor cargo in the tumor at exactly the same time that they maximally accumulated in the tumor. In other words, it was much like a collection of cruise missiles targeting the tumors at the critical point, 15 hours. Exactly at that point when we had determined that all of these cells, or the vast majority, had actually localized, or if you will, settled down and nested, homed to the tumor. So it was at this critical point, 15 hours after we delivered the cells, that the cells burst open and unloaded their drug cargo directly into the spilled it right onto the tumor cells. And so it was that synchrony, if you will, that I think was the challenge of the experiment, and we were fortunate to see this actually happen.
Well, I thank you so much, Dr. Turman. Continued success, an amazing amount of research. Dr. David Turman, head of molecular genetics at the Genomic Research Institute, a story that you're just hearing. And believe me, it's going to be big news. It is already in the cancer community. I'm Joan Hamburg. You're listening to News Talk Radio 710, 1-800-321-8828. 1-800-321-8828. Whatever's on your mind, we were talking government earlier. We've been talking how in recent tests, thousands of people from teenagers on through baby boomers, we are lagging particularly young people behind in very important thought processing issues. Education has to rethink, and we have a lot to talk about. I'm Joan Hamburg.